Julian, if I may call you that, let me start by asking you for some diagnostic responses to some things. I'll name them. You come back, okay?
I'll do my best, Alan. Thank you.
Here we go. Gay marriage.
Diagnostic? I think it's
in other words, diagnostic. We want to know about you and how you react to those things. Yeah.
I'm proud that New York has recognized that when people love each other, they should have equal rights. My campaign is about fairness. I believe that today in Washington, the voices of the special interests and the powerful are heard, and the voices of our communities are not. And when your campaign is about fairness, you make sure that everyone's included. And this was an important inclusion that I'm proud that New York has taken the step.
Hydrofracking.
You know, we all want to have energy security, energy independence, and a good supply of energy. So I understand the appeal to getting at that natural gas. And, of course, if it were sitting in tanks on the ground now, it would be an easy call. But in terms of the impact, I think that the jury is still out, and there are a lot of reasons to be skeptical. Not just with respect to the potential environmental impact for clean water and clean air, both of which may be very significant, but also with respect to real estate values, with respect to people and their relationship to the banks that have given mortgages on their property, and the fact that it appears that these leases are being turned into investment vehicles bought and sold by speculators, just as home mortgages were in the last crisis. So, I would hate to have something that appears to be an investment in energy turn out simply to be another investment vehicle for speculators. My view is that we need to know the facts about this. I'm worried about what's referred to as the Halliburton loophole that allows this industry exemptions from laws that apply to other industries so that we don't know what's going into the land and what's going to affect the water table. So we need to have that kind of knowledge before we can make an informed decision that something that could have such a serious impact on our environment and our standard of living or quality of living can really go forward full steam.
Now, you sound like you have your reservations. However, we have a president of the United States who doesn't seem to have reservations, wants to see it done. Does that make you uncomfortable as a Democratic candidate?
Not at all. I don't think that people in our communities want everyone in Washington to be in lockstep either with the president from their party or the candidate for president from their party. I don't know that the president has been especially warm to hydrofracking. I think he is positively disposed to more sources of energy and cleaner sources of energy than we use now. But I don't see a lot of space between his position and mine. But most importantly, again, I don't think the voters in this region are sending me to Washington to have the voice of the president. They're sending me to Washington to have an independent voice that speaks for the people of this region.
Hmm. How about getting Americans upstaters back to work?
Well, that's the number one priority, and unfortunately, it hasn't really been a priority for Congressman Gibson. We have right now a lot of folks out of work, and we have a lot of things that need to be done and rebuilt in particular, not just coming out of the hurricane, but of course including that, but the state of infrastructure in our region could do with significant improvements and repairs, and there are folks who can be a part of that who are looking for work and want to be a part of that. At the same time, we need to build a strong, stable, long-term economy here. That means supporting in particular the agricultural industry and making that vibrant, making it viable, and ensuring that it doesn't suffer through competition to giant agribusiness or foreign agricultural interests.
Why would anybody want to be a congressman? You got to get on that plane every Monday or Tuesday. You got to go down there. You got to leave your family. You got to hear from all of the, you know, voices of the lobbyists and the rest of them. And you got to get on the phone and raise money. You got to run every 2 years. Sounds like a lousy job to me.
Well, you know something? It's a lot of work, but work is not something I'm a stranger to. And I was very sincere when I began telling you about my background and the opportunities that I've had that today many people don't have. The next generation has to be able to promise their children a brighter future, just as my parents were able to provide for me a brighter future. And unfortunately, in Congress today, to the extent anything at all gets done, the agenda seems to be undoing the decades of progress, ending the guarantee of Medicare, ending the rights of women as free and equal members of society, denying them access to health care. To me, it's unacceptable. Congress is too important to be left to a lot of the folks who choose to run for Congress, unfortunately. We need absolutely a powerful advocate for the voices of these communities. And again, I have been so blessed in my life and had so many opportunities, and I would never tell it as a bootstrap story because I don't believe that's true. It's been something that I've been able to do with the help of so many different people, people who've known me, people who had no idea who I was. But we're all in this together, and the agenda, unfortunately, from the other side is to divide us and say it's everyone for themselves. And to me, it's unacceptable, and I feel absolutely passionate that we need to get back to a system that's fairer and in which everyone has a stake and in which everyone can share in the promise of America, just as I've had an opportunity to do.
How do you do that when you got a Supreme Court with five guys on it, as opposed to the four others who are doing things like Citizens United, anybody should be strip searched, you name it, you go down the line, there they are, no matter what the Congress does or says?
Well, there's no question that the Supreme Court in recent years has taken an activist approach and is not upholding the will of the people as expressed through the laws that Congress has passed. There's no short-term solution to that, and it's obviously not going to be something that I, as a congressman, can vote on in terms of Supreme Court justices. The point is to be there, making sure that the voices of the people of the community are heard loud and clear, and that their interests are advanced in the legislative process. In addition to that, though, recall that the service of a congressperson is not simply to advance legislation, but to also provide good services to the constituents through the district offices, through assistance in dealing with federal and state agencies. And that is something that I'm committed to doing a better job of than the current incumbent as well. So the Supreme Court can be a block, but not a block to everything.
Last question. What are your chances of winning?
Very good. The Cook Political Report, which is sort of the gold standard for analysts in Washington, calls it a toss-up. The New York Times reported yesterday that it is a very good pickup opportunity for the Democrats. We're doing very well in fundraising, and most importantly, my campaign is carrying the message of the people of this community. And Mr. Gibson has not been voting with the interests of the community for his year and a bit in Congress, and that record is one that I believe the people of this district will reject.
Julian Schreibman is a Democratic challenger for New York's new 19th district seat. You got to get through a primary. But as I say to everybody, Julian, good luck.
Thank you so much. It was a pleasure to be here with you this morning.